This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Make sure you download that Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. My name is Garrett Chapman. Not your usual suspect here on a Friday evening. Chris Thomas is out and about, gallivanting across the country, wherever he is doing, whatever he is doing, having a fantastic time. So it's on me. I got to take care of you all night long, 6 to 10 tonight. We got a lot to get into here on this show tonight. We got Braves expectations for the second half of the season. We'll talk a little Falcons with Joe Patrick, but it's a lot of college football here as we're coming off the bench with Garrett Chapman. SEC Media Days has come and gone. I got J.D. Pickell. He's joining me later on in the show. Plus, Brooks Austin from Bulldogs on SI and the film guy. He's going to join me at 8:20, so make sure you stick around for that. But my reactions to SEC Media Days, it's one of the craziest times of the year for me. I show up at SEC Media Days. I'm what's called a runner, basically. So it's my job to make sure we go get interviews, make sure we talk to players and coaches and other media members who are there out and about doing their thing. And it's just a big old reunion at SEC Media Days. And it's one of my favorite weeks of the year. I love it. I love being kind of crazy, running around with my hair on fire, taking care of everything. It's something that I really do enjoy, but it's a taxing week, you know, and it takes a little bit out of you. So I'm really excited to have that opportunity. But again, to have the opportunity to chat with everybody here about this tonight. It's talking season. It's not a lot else going on. Of course, it's the All-Star break here. So not a lot going on in terms of that. So that's why Greg Sankey's done a very good job of, you know, finding what time of year to really get this team out there, or his team out there to the College Football Hall of Fame, just to dominate the news cycle. And that's pretty much what they did all week, even though, Warren, I don't know about you, but it felt like it was kind of a lazy week. It felt like there wasn't a lot going on outside of just your standard stories, 8-9 schedule, College Football Playoff expansion, who's going to be starting at quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs? Is it Gunnar Stockton? Is it whatever? And that just seemed like the news for the week. It didn't seem like there was a big bomb that got dropped at any point.
No drama, which I guess is different from normal years. Like, I go back to like the old 90s where like people were dropping subpoenas on other people. Like Philip Fulmer was getting subpoenaed when he showed up in Hoover. But, you know, it was nothing along the lines of that. It was, dare I say, kind of like kumbaya with everybody. There was no talking about any other teams and no bulletin board material being put out there. Just guys were there, they came and spoke, and then went on back.
Very political answers. Very political answers indeed. And look, it started up at the top. Greg Sankey had a message, and that message was pretty much felt across the SEC Media Days throughout the course of the week. I think the only person that I could think of off the top of my head that really strayed from the message was Eli Drinkwitz, and we'll talk about him a little bit later on in the show. He had a very interesting model suggestion for the potential college football playoff expansion. Not one that I technically agree with, but again, we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. But let's start with this first thing. I'm going to harken back to some of the sound that we heard throughout the course of the week. So, I, of course, like I mentioned before, I was on hand for all of it throughout the course of the week. So let's start here. As far as 8 conference games versus 9 conference games. That was the big thing that Greg Sankey's been talking about. It's been in a big stalemate between him and Tony Petitti in the Big Ten Conference. And one of the big pieces of news that came out halfway through SEC Media Days, of course, because the Big Ten had their Media Days out there in Las Vegas halfway through the week, is the fact that, what really, Tony Petitti and company, they want Greg Sankey of the SEC to adopt 9 games. And they say, all right, we're not going to do any expansion. We're not going to change our where we stand on all of this playoff expansion. Greg Sankey called his bluff. And as far as what he was talking about in terms of expanding the SEC slate from 8 to 9, this is what he had to say earlier this week.
I don't believe there's anyone looking to swap their conference schedule and its opponents with the opponents played by Southeastern Conference teams in our conference schedule, be it 8 or 9. In the SEC, we're not lacking for quality competition among our 16 football teams. But we're going to continue to evaluate whether increasing the number of conference football games is appropriate for us. And as I've said repeatedly, understanding how the CFP will evaluate strength of schedule and even strength of record is critically important in our decision making.
Yeah, and that's really the biggest thing is how does it affect these teams and how they get selected into the college football playoff? Because last year, of course, you have Alabama, you have South Carolina, you have Ole Miss as the teams who were left out of the college football playoff field. And in their eyes, they feel that they played a more difficult schedule, so they should have been rewarded for it. What I tell them, well, you were rewarded for it. You were in consideration despite having 3 losses on your schedule. And that's why this conference is not going to go to 9 games. And I don't think that Greg Sankey is in any hurry to make this push to get to 9 games. He wants it. He's been on record saying it. He wants to get to that 9th game because it means more money. More SEC matchups mean more money on their next television deal. But ESPN balked at the ability to expand their contract to pay them for that extra game. So he's not going to play the extra game for free and risk upsetting his coaches. Plus, the Big Ten wants it. And the Big Ten made the big mistake of telling everybody that that's what they want. So Greg Sankey's going to hold it hostage because he has no reason to change it. Because the SEC, I mean, you talk about the strength of what these teams are. And let's go right there. Because I think it's very interesting, and that was another big theme throughout this week, is just how big that B tier is in the Southeastern Conference. You have your contenders. Everybody knows who the contenders are in the SEC. It's Georgia, it's Texas, it's Alabama, and some will say LSU. I have them in that list of A tier teams potentially moving into this season. I think they can live there in 2025, but they may also be in that B tier level. But the point is, you have a B tier that includes South Carolina, a team that was on the outside looking in barely last season and has the number one quarterback in the SEC, according to the media. Ole Miss, who Austin Simmons, I think, may end up being one of the top 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the SEC when it's all said and done. A really talented quarterback over there at Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. Tennessee, another one of those B tier teams who I feel like has an elite defense. They got some questions at the quarterback position. Nico Amaliava is not there anymore, but maybe that galvanizes the team. Missouri, Texas A&M. The Big Ten doesn't have a B tier like this. It doesn't exist anywhere else in this sport. So you talk about them still being on top of college football. That was another thing that Eli Drinkwitz talked about. That's another thing that a lot of these coaches, Lane Kiffin, Brian Kelly, every coach there, Mike Elko, every single one of them was point blank period asked, is the SEC still on top of college football? And unequivocally, yes, they absolutely are. You can look at the draft picks. You can look at the Heisman trophies. You can look at the national championships. Because we're sitting upstairs. 92.9's up there on Radio Row. We're sitting right next to a Heisman trophy. We're sitting right there next to the Orange Bowl, the national championship trophy. And the thing that I still see on every single one of those things, every single one of those trophies, for the most part, has the name of a player or coach who is in the SEC. That's just a reality. It's a reality in college football. Yes, the Big Ten has won the last 2 national championships. SEC, every 10 years or so, goes through a period of back-to-back seasons not winning a national championship. 2004-2005, that's what happened. 2013 and 2014, that's what happened. Now, 2023 and 2024, that's what happened. It's happened several times, and the SEC just goes right back to winning national titles. So why would Greg Sankey bend to the will of anybody else? He has no reason to. He knows that his guys, his teams, his programs are better than any other in college football, period. And if you disagree, argue with the wall, because facts tell you otherwise. All right, let's move on. Yeah, because we're reacting to SEC Media Days. We had a lot of fun stuff getting going throughout the course of the week. And I want to go back to Georgia here, because Georgia is one of the teams that I am fascinated with coming into the season. It's not because I'm a fan. That has nothing to do with it. It's the fact that they're kind of feel slept on right now. They feel like they're one of those teams who people feel, somebody called them a wild card throughout the week, which I think is a ridiculous term to use. I use wild card for an Auburn or an Oklahoma. Like John Mateer is the quarterback there. Jackson Arnold at Auburn. Those are two guys who I think are talented as all get out. Arnold's a former five-star player. But those are programs who could also win 5, 6, 7 games. They could turn around and win 10. They're that talented. They're that good. But that's a wild card. Kirby Smart has been anything but a wild card over the last 5, 6, 7 years. Since he's been at Georgia, the guy wins 10.5 games a year. Wild card. But I do think that they are flying underneath the radar just a little bit. 54% of their roster is an underclassman. That's unique. It's certainly unique, especially given this new age of college football where you have teams who jump into the transfer portal. You have teams who fill out their entire rosters doing that. Kirby Smart chose not to do that. Instead, he leans on Gunnar Stockton. He leans on the talent that he has on the roster that he picks up in the recruiting ranks, the way it used to be done and the way that I still believe it should be done in college football. The best teams recruit. They don't recruit in the portal. They don't go get guys that way. I know a lot of people had everything to say about Dabo Swinney, but that's the way teams are built. So why is Georgia running under the radar right now? It all has everything to do with the quarterback position. And this is what Kirby Smart had to say on his quarterback, Gunnar Stockton.
The number one thing Gunnar does is he leads. He does it the right way each and every day. He commands the room. He works his butt off. And I say all that because, you know, Ryan does a great job too. And those guys are going to continue to compete for things. But Gunnar's one of the leaders of our team. I think you saw that in response last year to when he came in, you know, after the halftime and laid it on the line physically and mentally. And he does that each and every day. So when you look around the room and you talk to our coaching staff, Gunner's been a tremendous passion, energy guy. We talk about that a lot. And he does it the right way. So I'm excited to see him grow and continue to get better.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what's going to happen for Gunnar Stockton and this Georgia team, because you saw the personality of the Georgia football program under Carson Beck over the last 2 years. Not exactly what you come to know with a Kirby Smart-led team. Now, that 2023 edition was uber-talented, and I think we'd be talking about him a little bit differently if Carson Beck had Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers to throw the football to in the SEC title game. We may be talking about Carson as if he was a number one overall pick who just won a national title and went off to the NFL and blah, 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 blah. But look, that's not the way it happened. He was hurt, and then he comes back for last year, and last year just wasn't the year that they expected it to be. You know, and Gunnar Stockton, to his credit, he's withstood a lot of criticism, mostly from this guy, Paul Feinbaum, and this is what he had to say about the SEC Network host.
Yeah, I'm not a big social media guy, but but seeing your coach kind of defend you makes you feel good, but I'm not really worried about what people say, so just ready for the season. Can't wait.
Yeah, that's been pretty much the theme from Gunnar Stockton when he was there on Tuesday. And the theme from this Georgia Bulldogs team in general. They were picked to finish second in the SEC, well behind Texas, who is the clear favorite in the SEC, despite having a quarterback under center who has basically as many starts as the guy who's over there in Athens. They have the same question marks. For whatever reason, Steve Sarkisian in Texas is getting the benefit of the doubt. Football still got to be played. Now we're finally through with talking season, at least for the most part. Was it 45 more days? Cannot get here fast enough. All right. When we get back, All-Star Game has come and gone. We're going to talk a little bit more about it when we get back. What are expectations for the Braves in the second half? We'll discuss. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman. I got fired up about the SEC. It's what it does to me. Every time I talk college football, I get fired up about the SEC. We'll talk to Joe Patrick at 6:40. I know he's big Ohio State guy. We were joking with each other on Twitter, just talking about who likes the scrums more, just as far as who likes to be in the action. Joe Patrick always seems to be in the action. Of course, he covers Atlanta United, the Atlanta Falcons for us. We'll talk a little bit more to him, and we'll have some fun with him. We'll have a great time with it. But he's an Ohio State guy, so. We'll see if anybody cared about Big Ten Media Days. They don't seem to have a lot of press coverage, at least not where I saw. But either way. All-Star Week is the other big thing from this week, and I do want to talk about that as well because I'm very fortunate. I had 4 days at SEC Media Days, and then I had 3 days, really, at the All-Star Village and with everything to do with the All-Star Game. It was an absolute blessing. We'll go across the A and talk a little bit more about everything else here in a little bit. But what an amazing week it was. Atlanta really is the kingpin of events. I think that they do such a very good job, this city, of supporting folks. You know, I mean, you have a Beyonce concert right next to where you're having SEC Media Days, and you have dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people who at any given moment on the sidewalk walking through, and you got cowboy hats everywhere. And then you just go up to 75, and all of a sudden, you have the whole baseball planet gathering at Truist Park and at the Battery, and everything was seamless, and it was fantastic, and to be able to do all those things, and everything was wonderful, and I think it really put put on display just how great this city is, and they did a very good job up there. I don't know if anybody out there had a chance to go check it out. The All-Star Fan Village was fantastic, and I had a blast. I went out there with some friends, got to throw a baseball for the first time in a couple of years. And yeah, my speed is not too great, and my elbow still kind of hurts a little bit. I might need some Tommy John on my ice myself. I don't know, man. It was not great. I still got up into the 60s, though. Into the 60s, I will take that. I can't really complain too much, and I wasn't able to swing a bat because the line was like an hour long. So that wasn't really going to work out too well. But the Fan Village itself was really cool. I know I had friends who spent 12 hours up there a day for 3 days up at the Battery and doing the Fan Village, going and doing the HBCU Swing Classic. You have the college over there at Georgia Tech. You had the Rising Stars. You had the Everything. It was wonderful. But ultimately, you get into the biggest thing from the week. And it was what happened during the All-Star game. And with Hank Aaron, the tribute that they did in the bottom of the sixth. I was in attendance for the game. I was able to be a fan on Monday and on Tuesday for the Home Run Derby first and then for the All-Star game on Tuesday. And obviously, I had to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning to get over there to SEC Media Day, so I wasn't able to stay for all of it. But one thing that I made sure to do was to stick around and watch whatever they had planned for Hank Aaron, the tribute. And it was one of the most incredible... No, it was the most incredible thing I have seen at a sporting event. It was a very large undertaking. You have all the special effects, the fireworks, the lighting. It was so cool in person. And I went back, watched it on television. It's really cool on TV. It was really, really cool on television. But what it was in person, I have goosebumps literally sitting here thinking about it. Major League Baseball did such a great job with that. And that's not something that you really say all that much about Major League Baseball. They tend to kind of bungle things. But what they did with that was unbelievable. And that's what the lasting memory of the All-Star Week is going to be for me. It's not Kyle Schwarber or Pete Alonso hitting home runs, I'll tell you that much. Not the swing-off that they did, where they don't even put a Braves player in. Not the fact that you miss out on the opportunity to put Shohei Ohtani or Ronald Acuna or Aaron Judge or, you know, the greats in our game right now. Now, instead, we put in some dude from the Marlins. Yeah, there you go, Dave Roberts. There you go, Major League Baseball. But no, it was an incredible week. And look, whenever the National League wins, that's also a really good thing for me too. But the other big things from the game itself, Paul Skeens. If anybody has a chance to go watch Paul Skeens live in person, there's a way that baseball bounces around. It just dances when it comes out of his hand. He led off for the National League. He was the starting pitcher here. Could have been Chris Sale, but of course he was dealing with the broken ribs. But Paul Skeens, I feel like he was crowned Cy Young winner at the beginning of the season. He was basically going to be the guy at any given moment. But look, very exciting moment. And then ABS was the other big takeaway. I thought it was seamless. I thought they did a very, very good job. That's with balls and strikes. I'm not a big fan of replay in general. I think that if it's clear and obvious, it should take you just a couple of seconds, maybe a moment or two, more than that. And if it takes you any longer, then you're wasting your time. And you're wasting the fans' time. You're wasting everybody's time. But ABS, I think they did a pretty good job. You just tap your helmet. 5 seconds later, you have a call. They overturned it or they upheld it, and you move on. That's how it should be. But, all right, as far as expectations for the Atlanta Braves, the actual baseball team who plays in this city, feels a little bit different. But let's talk a little bit about that as we go across the A. .500. You got 67 games left. You got to figure it out at some point. 9.5 back in the wild card division. Yeah, completely lost. It's over and done with. I'll spare you any of this discussion about, can they make the playoffs? No, this is not something that's going to happen. It's just not the year for the Atlanta Braves. One of those years, you know, and it seemed like last year was one of those years too. Maybe that's just who the Braves are. Maybe that's just the reality of what this team is. Maybe they need a shot in the arm. I don't think it's going to come in time for anything to happen this season. But now what? I mean, they ended the first half of the season. They take 2 out of 3 from the St. Louis Cardinals, but then they lose the finale on Sunday. I mean, it just seems like this team can never get out of its own way. So second half spark? No, probably not. I mean, ultimately, unless you think that Michael Harris or Ozzie Albies are going to somehow remember how to hit a baseball. I mean, they're both bottom 7 in OPS across Major League Baseball, not just not the Atlanta Braves, not the National League East, not the National League, Major League Baseball, folks. Major League Baseball. Michael Harris is the worst hitter in baseball. And if it wasn't for the fact that he has a gold glove caliber ability in center field, he'd already be in AAA. And he is so frustrating to talk about because he is the next most talented guy on this Braves roster. Yes, he absolutely is. He could do anything at the plate. He's a 5-tool player, an elite center fielder. His only deficiency is that he doesn't know what a ball and strike is. He does not know the difference. He throws his bat at everything. That's why he's, what, 551 OPS? It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal what's been going on with Michael Harris. And look, they moved him around. They gave him. They sat him down for a little bit. It looked like it sparked him for a moment. But actually, since the beginning of June, he's been trending down. You hit rock bottom, and Michael Harris found a damn shovel. 445 OPS since the beginning of June. Just absolutely dreadful. And then you look at Ozzie Albies, who has the seventh worst OPS in all of baseball. Not much better. But now you have a realistic discussion about whether or not you're going to pick up his option. You have a team option over the next two seasons, $7 million. But that's also a $4 million buyout if you want to get rid of him. And as crazy as it sounds, it was a bargain a couple of years ago. Now it's a very realistic shot. $7 million for what you're getting out of Ozzie Albies. I don't know if it's worth that. I don't. You can talk to me about leadership. You can talk to me about anything. Camaraderie in the locker room. His relationship with Ronald Acuna. Is it really worth him just being an absolute hole in the lineup? No, not really. But at this point, you're starting to build towards 2026. You're going to see what this team can do. And the first thing that you do is you make some trades. Marcelo Ozuna, he's gone. You know, I mean, unless this team gets on some kind of heater coming right out of the gate, they win 10 games in a row, maybe. I'm not going to hold my breath, and I sure hope that you aren't either. But Marcelo Ozuna, Raisel Iglesias, Dylan Lee, they've already said that they're not going to trade people who are under contract for the next few years. It's not happening. Anybody who's out there who says, Sean Murphy, trade Sean Murphy. No. Sorry, it's not happening, and it'd be foolish if they did. What they're going to do instead is they're going to trade Marcelo Ozuna, pick up a couple of pieces, refurbish that bullpen, maybe refurbish the team moving into 2026 and beyond, get some peace, get some organizational depth. Financial flexibility, that was the term that they used for many years, and that's probably what they're going to be doing moving forward. But you need to see what you have on this team, and you do that by moving those pieces and pulling some other guys up. And that gives Drake Baldwin the ability to jump into the DH spot. He and Sean Murphy can alternate. That works out great. You can see what they can do basically in the lineup every single day. And Marcelo Ozuna's in a contract year. He's walking after this season, y'all. He's gone. He's not going to be re-signed. So this team is going to have an issue at that position anyway. They're going to go get somebody in the offseason, I hope. That's what we said last year, too, but Chris Sale, Spencer Schwellenbach, those are guys who should be back over the next 2 months. But also, Ronaldo Lopez should be back in the month of August. Joe Jimenez should be back before some point by the end of the year. So you're going to see kind of sort of what it's going to look like in 2026. So you need to give them as much of an opportunity as you possibly can. But look, you're going to have an opportunity to get some bullpen support. You're going to have an opportunity to kind of build these guys up because you're going to make these big trades. And Raisel Iglesias, I mean, he's a guy who can still close games. He's a really talented pitcher. And at the very least, he's an elite setup man. So you're going to move on. And, I mean, this season is pretty much a wash. But maybe there's something to gain. Who knows? All right, when we get back, we're going to talk a little Falcons because training camp is, what is it, 6 days away? Maybe 5 days? I don't know what it is. Oh, it's next Thursday. No, it's next Thursday. So who is a key defender that we are not talking enough about? Joe Patrick, he'll join us on the other side. We'll ask him that very question. My name is Garrett Chapman. You're coming off the bench with me right here. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, you know, when he puts on my Amy Grant, always gets me in a good mood, especially on a Friday, you know, hey, getting the weekend going.
Dude, he played, the music started going and I'm like, why am I talking? I need to stop talking right now and just take in the music, take in the vibes, man. I mean, I stepped all right over it there. But no, Joe, what... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, like that music is kind of the feeling for football fans at the start of training camp, right? When it's just like everything is sunshine and rainbows on the horizon. We're all, you know, looking forward to, you know, a perfect season. I'm sure that's all going to happen exactly as we thought, right?
Yeah, basically. That's how it goes, you know. So, Joe, what do you say we keep it sunshine and roses, man? So
let's do it.
And who is a team or who is a player on this team who no one's talking enough about? I'm talking specifically on the defensive side of the ball because we've talked a lot about Jalen Walker and James Pierce and Ruka Roro, and then you go A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates, these veteran guys. But who is somebody that is a potential upstart type of player that we have not addressed enough?
Yeah, I've got a name for you, and it's a name that, to your point, like nobody's really talking about him, but I think that he could be in line for having a really big year and a really important year for what the Falcons need, and that's Arnold Ebiketie. He's not a player who's unknown. You know, he's obviously been around, and he's just kind of flown under the radar, I think, because, you know, he was people thought, you know, a lot of him coming out of college, and the Falcons certainly did, as, you know, they traded up to go get him in the second round when they did. But he didn't really start with flying colors, right? He kind of, you know, I guess a disappointment is like the right word to use, like to the start of his career. But I really, like, I think that he's grown over the course of it, especially just in the raw ability to get to the pass rusher, which is what you're looking for out of a guy like him. And his sack numbers have gone up steadily every single year, which is something that you want to see. And while those did start from a lower number than we would have liked to see, you know, it is good to see that improvement. And it's a big year for him also. It's a contract year. And that's another one of the reasons why, you know, he's a player in my eyes to look out for, because I think the contract year thing is a real thing. You know, if you look around the league, players tend to have their best years when they have those contract years. And so he's a player that I'm really looking for to really kind of put his name on the scene as a guy who can be relied upon in the role that I think the Falcons drafted him to be.
And 5 sacks in his last 6 games, I mean, is that indicative of, not maybe not to that level, but is that something that he could potentially build upon moving into 2025?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he's gained a lot of confidence in that aspect of the game. I think with him, the issue for in his game right now is actually more of like the stuff that fans probably don't care about, but coaches do, in terms of, you know, just being properly aligned on certain plays and not jumping off sides and lining up in the neutral zone, actually, which has kind of been a problem for AK at times. But, you know, that's really like where his game needs to be refined the most. And obviously there is an aspect of like being able to be the predominant pass rusher for a team that is unique, you know, and that's why those guys get paid. Like we saw TJ Watt get paid this week. Ooh. But ultimately, I think that he's just a growing player. I'm not saying he's on that level, but I'm just saying that, you know, he's a player that I think this is, if there's a year where he's going to kind of break out, I think that this would be the year for that to happen for him in his career.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy who's dealt with injuries throughout the course of his career, and he hasn't necessarily met expectations, but he kind of alluded to what he could do, and he kind of got... showed some of that tantalizing potential that he's flashed at times. But another guy who's kind of shown some potentials and some flashes, but has only played nine games in his last 2 years is Troy Andersen. That's somebody who I was really high on coming out of college, and the Falcons were too. They took him in the second round, and he just hasn't really done a whole bunch. But are they still leaning on him to really stay healthy for a full 17 games, or have they are they starting to move on? Or where do they stand on Arnold? Or excuse me, on Troy Andersen?
Yeah, so I don't think they're like I don't think they're moving on necessarily, but I think it is one of those situations where they need to, you know, protect themselves. They need to give themselves some insurance for, you know, the big problem for him, which has been staying on the field. He just hasn't been able to do that enough in his career to this point. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I think we've seen a lot from him when he has been healthy, and especially like after his rookie year. I thought his rookie year was a real growing year for him. You know, he hadn't really played a ton of linebacker in college. They kind of moved him to that position to give him, you know, more options in his professional career, because I think that his college coaches saw that that's where his future was. But he needed those reps. And then since then, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. That was really his only healthy year, was his rookie year, when he was only playing like 46% of snaps or so. And so it's been unfortunate, because I do think that he still fits something that the Falcons really like want and value in at least one of the linebacker roles, which is to be that linebacker that can chase around these mobile, modern NFL quarterbacks that we see. It's such an important part of the game nowadays, and he's kind of the archetype for that kind of linebacker. And but they protected themselves by going out and getting a linebacker in Divine Diablo, who I asked Raheem Morris about this offseason, and he just was glowing about his ability and the way he's picking up the linebacker position. Also a player who's transitioning to playing the linebacker after being a safety in college. But again, that just goes to show that this kind of archetype of linebacker is one that requires a lot of safety type skills, and not just like in terms of the mobility, but also in being able to cover and just be a versatile player that can kind of be a jackknife or like a jack of all trades kind of player out there. So those two players, I think, are going to be kind of in a battle for who's going to be the starter. I mean, if you look at it, Divine Diablo, while we considered Troy Andersen a starter, Divine Diablo, they signed him for, you know, they're paying him $8 million this year. That's starting money in the NFL, so it'll be interesting to see how that develops over the course of this training camp.
Yeah, and it's not something that I expect to be anywhere close to being done until the end of training camp. It's going to be something where we're going to see those guys in preseason. I fully expect to see that pair out there on the football field. But as far as anybody else you expect to see in preseason, I know we're still a little ways away, but is there anybody that you would be surprised to see? Because Kirk Cousins is the backup quarterback, but I think it'd almost be foolish to put him in there. So what do they do with the quarterback position? Who else would you even see in preseason?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see kind of what the what the principles are for this coaching staff this season in terms of playing the guys, especially in those preseason games. And, you know, we saw last year they did not want to expose any of these guys at all to injury. And I get it, you know, like, especially when you don't necessarily, you don't necessarily have your starting offensive line in. So you're almost like, you're kind of putting the organization at risk if you're throwing like a starting quarterback there behind, you know, pieces that, you know, aren't like the premier pieces to keep those guys healthy. And quarterbacks are obviously such an important part of what makes an NFL organization functional, as the Falcons well know. So that plays into it. As with Kirk, though, it is going to be interesting, because typically you would see the backup quarterback play quite a bit, but Michael Penix didn't play much, hardly at all last year either as the backup quarterback. So frankly, my expectation, Garrett, is that I don't think we're going to see much of either of Penix or Cousins at, you know, playing in preseason. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe they decided that they learned a lesson, because I did think that they looked quite rusty going into last year, and they probably could have used the preseason games, and Kirk Cousins even said as much both then and then afterwards. I know he mentioned it on the quarterback documentary, and you can kind of see that. So, but ultimately, until we have evidence otherwise, I expect them to continue to just be protective of their players.
Yeah, and look, it's that time of year, so I figured I might as well get the question out of the way and see.
And I take no pleasure in saying that, because I'm much anyone else who, like, I'm a football fan. I want to see the guys play too, but they're ultimately just trying to make the best decisions, what they think are for the organization.
Yeah, protect the team, protect the players. That's really the best thing. You protect the pocketbook, you know, because those are the guys who people want to come see. Joe Patrick joining me here on the wait4.com hotline. Odyssey Falcons insider here for us, or for 92.9 The Game Falcons insider. Plus Joe Patrick on football. This is a team who finished 28th in DVOA That's basically your best indicator of how good a defense is on a play-to-play basis, averaged out to what every other team, just for anybody listening at home. But is it foolish to expect that this team is going to all of a sudden be a top 16 unit on defense? Jeff Ulbrich is, of course, you're out with Jimmy Lake and in with Jeff Ulbrich, a really good defensive play caller. But is this team really ready to take that big of a step forward next year?
It's a lot to ask. I got to say, it's a lot to ask. And I think a lot of that will depend on how improved this pass rush actually is. And we'd like to think that it's going to be greatly improved because of all the investments that have been made, especially with these draft picks. But, when you look at rookie edge rushers, they don't necessarily produce in their rookie year. A lot of that production ends up coming in some of the later years, especially even in the second year, they can oftentimes break out. But it's not impossible. I'm not saying that it's impossible for these guys, but I think that that's what they're going to need if they want to really make that jump. Having said that, Garrett, I think that if they make that jump and they are the 16th overall team in defensive DVOA, I think this Falcons team is in very good shape. I don't even think they need to be even quite that high. I think they just need to be 20th or so, honestly, in order for them to, I think, be quite effective. Because, and to me, I mean, maybe it's my bias here, but that's just how good I expect Michael Penix to be. And based on what we saw last year, I couldn't think more highly of the guy. And I think this Falcons defense, they just need to be able to sack the quarterback. They need to be able to make plays. They have to be able to give the ball back to Penix and this offense. That's going to be the key. The Falcons defense was actually pretty decent in terms of keeping points off the board back in 2022, a big rebuilding year for this team under DPs. That's the style of defense that team needed at the time, but this team needs to get the ball back to this explosive offense, which is going to be the aspect that carries them.
Yeah, and that's something that I don't think that they were necessarily very good at. Off the top of my head, I can't think of many instances where they're actually able to turn the ball over on any level of consistency, and I wonder if that's going to be something, because that's kind of a fluid stat, and it can come and it can go, and you don't necessarily want to base your entire identity of your defense on the ability to take the ball away. But look, it's a pretty good indicator that your defense is playing really good ball. I got one more here on the Atlanta Falcons here for you, Joe, and then I want to ask you a little bit about Atlanta United, because they got another big match coming up after a big performance in key moments back on Wednesday. But as far as position battles go, I'm very curious with this team, because it seems like we talked about the inside linebacker position. We can talk a little bit about the cornerback position, the second cornerback position, that is, and the nickelback and things like that. But as far as what you're looking for in terms of position battles, I'm not talking about roster spots when we're getting down to the bottom end of the roster necessarily, but I mean starting position battles. The offense feels like it's pretty much set, but what are you looking for in terms of those positional battles when we open up training camp?
Yeah, the nickel one is really big. It's obviously a very important role for any NFL defense. And it's a lot of them aren't necessarily position battles in the sense of one guy's going to win, one guy's going to lose, but it's more how does it shake out? And that's on the edge, with these rookie edges. I'm interested to see, how that exactly shakes out, how many reps we end up seeing guys like Jalen Walker get over, does Leonard Floyd appear? Arnold Ebikadi, we've already talked about him. What kind of snap share does he get? So that's one thing I'm really interested in seeing. And, also at center as well, I would say on the offensive side of the ball, it's not that there's a battle going on there, but how does Ryan Neuzel deal with it? And how does the offense look with a new kind of a different profile of center, I would say, than what a guy like Drew Dahlman was. So I think there's a lot for us to look out for in this training camp. I think we'll learn a lot when it comes to kind of the way things are shaking out, because not everything is quite set in stone right now.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about Atlanta United, what you saw from them on Wednesday. I don't want to talk too much about tomorrow necessarily. It's another big match because, every match is huge. You got, 12 matches left in the season, 12 points separate you and the playoff line. Every match is going to be critical. But they pick up one point. I don't know how to feel about it. They're getting all the stoppage time goals, but I don't know how sustainable that is, Joe.
I know how I feel, which is I'm not enthused by this Atlanta United team at all. As sad as it is to say, a point is not good enough for what this team needs right now. And it's like, if I'm honest with myself, it's not like I ever thought that this team, you know, was going to make a massive turnaround in the standings. It's just so they've dug themselves in such a deep hole, but I just wish I was seeing better performances, like better attacking soccer performances, because, you know, this is the team, like this is all the DPs. I mean, yes, they are missing some defenders, Dean Gregerson, players like that are missing. But in general, like this is the team that was constructed to, you know, essentially go out and compete for a championship, and they're nowhere close to that level right now. So that is disappointing. I think it's surprising to a lot in the front office, and they're going to, you know, I think do a lot of work in this transfer window and beyond to try to remedy that. And make no mistake, the front office, I can tell you, they're as critical as anyone. I know fans are upset, but you know they are critical of their own performances and the performances of their own players. And I think that this club, you know, they have the resources to go out there and make a difference. Unfortunately, I think just for this season, it's just going to be, you know, too much to ask for.
Yeah, I just think that that's sort of what the reality is for them. Just like the Atlanta Braves, it just feels like.
Yep, exactly.
What was supposed
very
to
similar
be,
seasons.
Well, maybe the thing that we've seen in Atlanta sports is that one team suffers or two teams suffer just for another team to succeed. So maybe that's the Atlanta Falcons, Joe. Who knows?
Yeah, that's right. Let's hope so.
I hope the suffering can only go on for so long. All right, Joe Patrick, appreciate you as always. You're a pleasure to have you on.
All right, thanks, Garrett.
All right, when we get back, the Atlanta Hawks, they're playing summer league basketball. Does it matter? No, not really, but I'll tell you one reason why you should be paying attention on Sunday. We'll discuss that when we get back. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.